بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 3rd of August in the year 2019 الحمد لله we moved on to the second night that we're going through the exalted life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu and yesterday I mentioned the lineage with regards to both his noble mother and father and simply put he is related to our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam from both his mother and father but more so from his mother because his mother Sayyida Arwa radiyallahu anha her mother was Al-Bayda who was the daughter of Abdul Muttalib so simply put Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu is the great grandson of Abdul Muttalib the grandfather of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the other thing I pointed out was that Allah the Almighty and Glorious graciously blessed Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu that he spent over 70 years with his beloved mother. During his khilafat, his beloved mother passed away, Aisha Sayyida Arwa radiyallahu anha. So she was in her 90s. And he himself was in his mid-70s at the time. So, some are blessed to have their parents for a long time. And this is a priceless blessing. My own father, Rahmatullah Alayh, he passed away in 2009 and so I was blessed to serve him for 38 years and then my mother Rahmatullah Alayha she passed away in 2017 so I was blessed to serve her for 46 years so some you'll notice will have a short time with their parents but some are blessed to have a longer period of time whatever the case is the decree of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and It's not how much or how long you have with them. It's how long you've served for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sayyidina Uthman was blessed. In his mid-70s, he served his mother. And shortly thereafter, he himself passed away. So it wasn't long before he was with his beloved mother once more. Radiyallahu. So from his lineage, we learn that he's from the Banu Umayyah. The lineage goes to the fathers. So Uthman radiyallahu anhu's father is Affan. His father is Abi al-As. His father is Umayyah. So anybody from that lineage is under the tribe of Banu Umayyah, named after that father. And then of course Umayyah's father is Abd Shams. His father is Abd Manaf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his father is Abdullah radiyallahu anhu. His father is Abdul Muttalib. And his father is Hashim. So therefore the tribe, the Sayyid tribe is the Banu Hashim because of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hashim's father is Abd Manaf. So Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu belonged to the Banu Umayyah. This tribe was second only to the Banu Hashim with regards to distinction and honor amongst the noble Quraysh. The Banu Umayyah were indeed thought to be the equals of Banu Hashim. Indeed, the national flag of the Quraysh was kept in their keeping. So the great honor of the flag of the Quraysh was given to the Banu Umayyah, and they were second only to the Banu Hashim. So we mentioned briefly who his mother and father, Sayyidina Uthman's mother and father were. Let's turn to his brothers and sisters. So the first thing to point out It's Sayyidina Uthman only had one full sister. Her name was Sayyida Amina bint Affan radiyallahu anha. She was married to Sayyidina Al-Hakam ibn Kaysan radiyallahu anha. An expedition led by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiyallahu anha captured Sayyidina Al-Hakam ibn Kaysan radiyallahu anha. And then in Al-Madinah, he embraced Islam and he became a good Muslim. He thereupon stayed with our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he fell as a martyr in the battle of Bi'r Ma'una in 4 AH. So let's put this simply. So he had one full sister, Sayyidina Uthman. Her name is Amina. The same name as the Prophet's mother, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amina bint Affan. So they both shared the same mother and father. So this noble woman, radiyallahu anha, she was first married to a man called Al-Hakam ibn Kaysan. And as fate would have it, he was captured as an unbeliever in an expedition led by Abdullah ibn Jahsh. Abdullah ibn Jahsh was the first cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the mother of the believer Zainab bin Jahsh's brother. So in the expedition led by him, he caught Al-Hakam ibn Kaysan, the brother-in-law of Uthman. As a prisoner in Al-Madinah, he embraced Islam. And then in the year 4 AH, he fell as a martyr in the tragic incident of Bir Ma'una, in the ambush. So the sister of Uthman, Amina radiyallahu anha, all the while she was still an unbeliever. So look how strange. Her husband has become Muslim. He's been martyred. She's still an unbeliever. And she remained one until the conquest of Makkah, where she embraced Islam along with her mother, Sayyida Arwa radiyallahu anha, and the rest of her half-sisters, and swore allegiance to our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with Sayyida Hind bint Utba, the wife of Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu ta'ala. So the mother Arwa of Uthman and her daughter, i.e. Amina, both embraced Islam at the same time when Makkah had fallen. So why is that important to highlight? Because when Makkah fell, many great people were embracing Islam. But it was a very joyous time for Uthman, because his mother's embraced Islam and his full sister. Right? So it's worth keeping these points in mind, that Makkah has fallen, but to them it was their family that were embracing Islam. Now let's turn to his half-brothers. Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu had three half-brothers through his mother. So the mother was Arwa for all these three gentlemen, but their fathers were different. Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu had three half-brothers through his mother Sayyida Arwa radiyallahu anhu. The first was Sayyidina Al-Walid ibn Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id radiyallahu anhu, whose father was killed on the day of Badr. So look how strange this is. You got Uthman's brother. So you're thinking, mashallah, Uthman's brother. His father died as a kafir on Badr. So a person then says, so Uthman's father died at Badr. No. Uthman's brother's father died as an unbeliever at Badr. No, his mother. His mother, the mothers were the same. So his half brother, his name is Al-Walid. The father who was killed at Badr was Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id. Sayyidina Al-Walid radiyallahu anhu went out with his other brother Sayyidina Ammara radiyallahu anhu after the treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah to bring back their sister Kulthum radiyallahu anhu, who had embraced Islam and migrated to Al-Madinah. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to hand her back due to the following holy verse that had been revealed regarding them. Let's put it simply. So Walid ibn Uqba, the brother of Uthman, half-brother radiyallahu anhu, and his other brother Ammara, two half-brothers of Uthman, they're unbelievers. They now, after the treaty of Hudaybiyah, they want to bring their sister back, Kulthum. Why? Because in the treaty of Hudaybiyah, there was a clause. The Prophet had agreed to a clause, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if a Muslim comes to us from the Quraysh, you must hand him back. So they believe that their sister has gone over to the Prophet. So there goes the treaty's clause is we can take her back. So when the two brothers went to retrieve their sister, the Prophet said, no, she's not allowed to go back with you. Why? Because a verse was revealed. Which verse? In Surah Al-Mumtahina, Surah 60 verse 10, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He revealed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya أيها الذين آمنوا إذا جاءكم المؤمنات مهاجرات فامتحنوهن الله أعلم بإيمانهن فإن علمتموهن مؤمنات فلا ترجعوهن إلى الكفار. Oh, you who believe, when there comes to you migrant believing women, test them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best to their faith. If you then ascertain that they are believers, then do not send them back to the unbelievers. So this is the verse. So what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious clearly say in verse 10 of Surah Al-Mumtahina? He says to the believers, when a believing woman comes to you to migrate, meaning from Makkah to Al-Madina, you must test their faith. If you are happy that they are believers, you cannot hand them back. Now what does that mean? In Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir in their respective tafsirs, Mujahid, he explained, Rahmatullah Alayh, he recited this portion of the verse, Surah 60 verse 10. فَامْتَحِنُوهُنْ, test them. He explained, ask them why they have migrated. If they migrated due to their anger with their husbands or for any other reason, and you realize that they have not embraced the true faith, send them back to their husbands. So basically, women were coming to Al-Madina, but some of them were Muslims. They were just like basically playing the game. We can't stand our husbands. We'll go to Al-Madina. Yeah, we're Muslims. And the Prophet won't hand us back. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, test them. So what was the test? And this is very easy. You get people now who profess to be Muslims, and then the next day, they go, oh, we've seen the light. We don't believe in Islam anymore. So what does the Quran tell you to do? Test them. Were they really Muslims? So what do our, you know, the people with intellect do? You say to the so-called apostate, can you read Fatiha please? You've been a Muslim. And guess what? They can't read Fatiha. So were they really Muslims? Or was this a game to undermine Islam? So here Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, if these women have come over because they're upset with their husbands, test them. And if you are happy that they are Muslims, don't hand them back. The holy verse then goes on to instruct that the dowries of the unbelieving husbands are to be returned to nullify their marriages. Then the believing migrant women, after their waiting period, would then be free to remarry. So this was the hukum. So if any believing women migrated from Makkah to Medina and they were Muslima, Allah Ta'ala says, don't hand them back. However, if their husbands come, give back their dowries. And then they have to have a waiting period before these women can once again remarry. Sayyidina Al-Walid ibn Uqba, Uthman's half-brother, soon thereafter embraced Islam on the day of the conquest of Makkah, together with Sayyidina Ammara ibn Uqba, who was also late in embracing Islam. So simply put, Al-Walid ibn Uqba, the half-brother of Uthman, and Ammara, the half-brother of Uthman, they came to take their sister back. Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse. The Prophet basically said, no, she's not allowed to go with you. But then after that, when Makkah fell, these brothers, half-brothers of Uthman, embraced Islam. Walid ibn Uqba, Ammara a bit late. The third half-brother is not clear, his fate. His name is Khalid ibn Uqba. There's not much mentioned about him. That was the third half-brother. We don't know whether he embraced Islam. We hope he did. So these were the three half-brothers. Just mention their names again, so you know who the half-brothers are. Sayyidina Al-Walid ibn Uqba, radiyallahu. Sayyidina Ammara ibn Uqba, radiyallahu. And Khalid ibn Uqba, who we're not sure whether he became Muslim. Now let's turn to his three half-sisters. He had three half-sisters through his mother. Sayyida Amra, radiyallahu. So as mentioned, Sayyida Kulthum bint Uqba, the sister, indeed she has the distinct honor of being the first woman to migrate to Al-Madinah after our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had returned from the treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. This is an honor for her. So Uthman's half sister Umm Kulthum, so the treaty has been signed, she was the first female sahabi to migrate from Makkah to Al-Madinah after the treaty. So this is a great honor for her that she was the first. And the brothers tried to get her back, but I've mentioned they couldn't because of the verse of the Quran. So she, of course, was the half-sister. Umm Kulthum bint Uqba radiyallahu anha. As mentioned, Umm Hakim bint Uqba radiyallahu anha, who embraced Islam with her mother on the day of the conquest. I mentioned that when Uthman's mother, Amra radiyallahu anha, when she embraced Islam, her daughter also embraced Islam, Umm Hakim bint Uqba. And the third sister, Sayyidah Hind bint Uqba radiyallahu anha, also embraced Islam on the day of the conquest. She shouldn't be confused with the famous Hind who chewed the liver of Hamza, or so it mentions. They had the same name. But Hind bint Uqba is Uthman's sister. She embraced Islam on the day of the conquest. So simply put, when Makkah fell peacefully to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on that beautiful day, a truly most memorable event took place for Uthman. What happened to Uthman radiallahu anh? On that day, two of his brothers and two of his sisters embraced Islam on that day as well, together with his mother. What a reunion that must have been. Think about that. If we love Uthman, we should be happy for him. If somebody goes, what happened on the day of the conquest? Because a lot of people embrace Islam, a lot of people do that. This may not, we don't even know who they are. Joe Bloggs. Who are these lot of people you're talking about? Two brothers of Uthman and two sisters of Uthman and his mother embraced Islam. How happy must Uthman have been? Allah Ta'ala saved a big section of his immediate family from the fire when Makkah had fallen. So these are some of the family members, siblings of Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu. But like I mentioned, his full sister, he only had one full sister, and her name is Amina bint Affan. And alhamdulillah, she also embraced Islam. So now let's turn to Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu. Let's discuss his age. What age was he as compared to our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi, he said, in Al-Isaba, number 5465 or 4-T77, Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu was born in Makkah 6 years after the year of the elephant, according to the correct view. So simply put, when the shaitan came to destroy the Kaaba with the elephants, that's called the year of the elephant. That year is very famous for two reasons. One is Allah Ta'ala protected the Kaaba. He sent the birds, Ababil, Tarmihim, Bihijaratim, Min Sijil, to destroy these shaitans. But even more importantly, the Holy Prophet was born that year, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Abraha came with the elephant, that was the year the Prophet was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This report indicates 6 years after the year of the elephant, Uthman was born. So we can make a very simple calculation, and it indicates he's 6 years younger than our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you're discussing the Prophet at any time in his holy life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you just minus six and you got Uthman radiallahu anh. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 6 years his senior, because Abdullah ibn Abbas had said radiallahu anh, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the year of the elephant. This is in Bayhaqi, Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 4181, Sahih. Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 1, page 144 of the English translation. So he's 6 years junior to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, Khilafur Rashidin, you got Abu Bakr Siddiq, you got Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, you got Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, you got Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib. Now if you look at these four great men, their ages is something which is interesting. Abu Bakr Siddiq, he was the oldest of the four. He was 4 years older than Uthman. So out of the Khilaf al-Rashidin, if somebody asks you who was the oldest, you say Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. And then you say, well, according how much older was he than the next? Because he was 4 years older than Uthman radiallahu anhu. Who is the next oldest out of the Khilafah Rashidin? Uthman. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu comes next. He was 7 years older than Umar. See all these like things that you got in your head, you know, he's young, oh yeah, Abu Bakr's older, then it's Umar. No, no, brother. Get lollipop out of your mouth. Right? Uthman's older. He's 7 years older than Umar. Even though he was the third Khalif. Umar radiallahu anhu, he comes next. He was 23 years older than Ali. So a person goes, what? Ali's 23 years junior to Umar. Where? What do you think he was? Thus note, there is a generation gap between three of the noble sheikhs and the gallant Sayyidina Ali. Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman were the same generation. Ali was like their son. The fact that he's amongst them shows how great he is. You got somebody who's like the son and he's with his uncles. Think about that. That's how great Sayyidina Ali is, radiallahu anhu. So upon the passing away of our beloved messenger, how old were these great men? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was 61 years old when the Prophet passed away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was 50 years old when the Prophet passed away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Uthman radiallahu anhu was 57 years old when the Prophet passed away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ali radiallahu anhu was 33 years old when the Prophet passed away. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, Hazrat Ali was the age of, he was at the peak of his manhood when the Holy Prophet left, 33, the age of the people of paradise. Abu Bakr is into his old age, Umar is middle aged, and Uthman is old, 57. Let's mention some other figures. In Hakim it is Mustadrak, number 5401, 5344 and 6040 Sahih. It is related. Sayyidina Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was born 3 years before the elephant. Sayyidina Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu, was born 13 years before the year of the elephant. And Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu, was born 10 years after the year of the elephant. So simply put, Abbas, whose life we've been through, radiallahu, the beloved uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was 9 years older than Uthman. Hakim ibn Hizam, who's this? Anybody know who Hakim ibn Hizam is, radiallahu?
The nephew of Khadija.
MashaAllah. Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu was the nephew of Khadija. He was 19 years older than Uthman. So somebody goes, what? Hakim ibn Hizam was 13 years older than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hakim ibn Hizam lived till the time of Muawiyah. He was over 100. And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, one of the 10 promised paradise, he was born 10 years after the year of the elephant. So he was 4 years younger than Uthman and 10 years younger than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all these things are very important for us to get the correct image in our mind's eye. So when you're thinking of these personalities, we don't guess. But a lot of people are shocked when you mention these ages, because he was older than Umar. When Uthman, which I'll mention, radiallahu, when Uthman radiallahu ascended to the Khilafat, he was 70 years old. People say, why is it that out of the Khilafah Rashidin, Uthman was not honored to pass away at the age of 63? They ask very stupid questions. Why is that a stupid question?
He was Khalifa at 70.
He got a time machine to go back 7 years. Abu Bakr Siddiq passed away at 63. Umar ibn Khattab passed away at 63. Ali ibn Abu Talib passed away at 63. Person goes, oh, Uthman didn't get it. Didn't get what? Because then you go fruitcake. How can he be honored when he was 63, when Umar was the Khalif? Right, so note, it's not a blemish on Sayyidina Uthman, it was basically an honor for him that Allah Ta'ala gave him old age, i.e. to become the Khalif, showing the responsibilities. He was more than capable of taking that huge responsibility on, the great Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan. So what I mentioned today was basically, I mentioned now his siblings. I mentioned that he had three brothers and three sisters, a very quick brief upon them so you get a connection. And then I mentioned, of course, with regards to his age, and he's the second oldest of the Khilafah al-Rashidin. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم